Welcome to History Unlocked, your GCSE revision companion. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most dramatic and transformative periods in English history, the Norman Conquest, from 1065 to 1087. Whether you're revising for your OCR GCSE exam or just want to really understand what happened when William of Normandy crossed the Channel, you're in exactly the right place. Grab a pen, because this episode is packed with everything you need to know. Let's set the scene. In January 1066, King Edward the Confessor died without a clear heir. That single moment, that vacuum of power, set off a chain of events that would permanently change England forever. Three men immediately claimed the throne: Harold Godwinson, the powerful Earl of Wessex, Harald Hardrada, the King of Norway, and William, Duke of Normandy. Each had a claim. Only one would survive the year as king, and the consequences of that survival shaped England for centuries. Now, let's work through the core concepts you absolutely must know for your OCR exam. First, the Battle of Hastings, October the 14th, 1066. Harold Godwinson had just defeated Harald Hardrada at the Battle of Stamford Bridge on the 25th of September, an exhausting victory in the north of England. He then force-marched his army south when he heard William had landed at Pevensey Bay on the 28th of September. That rapid march was a fateful decision. Harold's army was tired. They took up a defensive position on Senlac Hill near Hastings. William's Norman forces, cavalry, archers, and infantry, attacked in waves. The English shield wall held for hours. Then, crucially, some English troops broke ranks to chase what appeared to be a Norman retreat. Whether that retreat was feigned or genuine is debated by historians, but the result was devastating. The shield wall broke, Harold was killed, tradition says by an arrow to the eye, though the bio tapestry is ambiguous on this point. By nightfall, William had won. England had a new king. Here is your first key exam point. Do not confuse Stamford Bridge with Hastings. They are separate battles, fought weeks apart, against different opponents. Candidates who conflate these two events lose marks immediately. Stamford Bridge was against Hardrada. Hastings was against Harold Godwinson. Second core concept, the consolidation of control. Winning the Battle of Hastings was only the beginning. William faced resistance across England for years. His response was systematic and brutal. He built castles, initially Mott and Bailey castles, which could be constructed in just a few weeks using earth and timber. By 1087, there were around 500 castles across England. These weren't just military fortifications. They were symbols of Norman dominance placed in towns and cities to overawe the local population. The Tower of London, begun around 1078, was the ultimate statement of royal power. William also used land redistribution as a tool of control. By 1087, the Domesday Book records that just 4,000 Norman nobles held land that had previously belonged to around 4,000 to 5,000 Anglo-Saxon thanes. The entire landowning class was replaced. This is the feudal system in action. William owned all the land and he granted it to his barons, called tenants-in-chief, in exchange for military service. Those barons then granted land to knights, who in turn extracted labor from villeins and peasants. The key mechanism here, and this is something examiners specifically look for, is the exchange of land for service. It was not a static hierarchy. It was a dynamic system of mutual obligation. If you describe it as just a pyramid without explaining that exchange, you will not reach the higher mark levels. Third, resistance to Norman rule. Not everyone accepted William's conquest quietly. There were major rebellions. In 1067 and 1068, Exeter revolted, led by the citizens and supported by Harold's mother, Githa. William besieged the city for 18 days before it surrendered. He responded by building Rougemont Castle right inside the city, a direct and visible statement of control. Then, in 1069, came the most serious challenge, the Great Northern Revolt. Edgar the Aetheling, a legitimate Anglo-Saxon claimant to the throne, allied with King Swain of Denmark, and together with Northern English nobles, they launched a major uprising. They captured York and massacred the Norman garrison. William's response was the harrying of the north in the winter of 1069 to 1070. The harrying of the north is one of the most significant events in this entire period, and examiners expect you to distinguish between its immediate and long-term consequences. Immediately, William's forces systematically destroyed crops, livestock, tools, and settlements across Yorkshire and the surrounding counties. The chronicler Orderic Vitalis, writing in the early 12th century, described 100,000 people dying of starvation and disease. Modern historians debate that figure, but the scale of destruction was undeniable. The long-term consequence is recorded in the Domesday Book of 1086. Vast swaths of Yorkshire are recorded as waste. meaning uninhabited and unproductive, nearly 17 years after the harrying. That is extraordinary evidence of long-term economic devastation. Then there is Hereward the Wake, perhaps the most famous English rebel. Based in the Isle of Ely in the Fenlands of East Anglia, Hereward led guerrilla resistance against the Normans from around 1070 to 1071. The marshy terrain of the fens made it almost impossible for Norman cavalry to operate effectively. William eventually built a causeway across the marshes to reach the island. Ely fell in 1071. Hereward's ultimate fate is unknown. He may have escaped or he may have been pardoned. But his story became legendary, a symbol of English resistance. Fourth, the Domesday Book, 1086. William commissioned this extraordinary survey to find out exactly who owned what land, how much it was worth, and how much tax could be extracted. Commissioners traveled to every county and questioned local people under oath. The result was a comprehensive record of landholding across almost all of England. For historians, it is an invaluable source. For our purposes, it tells us two crucial things. First, the near total replacement of Anglo-Saxon landowners by Normans, and second, the lasting economic damage of the harrying of the North, visible in those waste entries. Fifth, the Norman Church. William did not destroy the Anglo-Saxon Church immediately, and this is a common mistake candidates make. Initially, he retained some existing structures, but from 1070, he appointed Lanfranc of Bec as Archbishop of Canterbury. Lanfranc then drove a program of reform, replacing Anglo-Saxon bishops and abbots with Normans, building new Romanesque cathedrals, Durham, Winchester, Canterbury, and bringing the English church into closer alignment with Rome. By 1087, only one English bishop remained in post. The church, like the land, had been Normanized. Now, let's talk exam technique, because knowing the content is only half the battle. For OCR history, the most common mistakes I see are these. Number one, narrative without analysis. Candidates describe what happened, but do not explain why it matters. Every paragraph needs to answer the question, not just tell a story. Use connective phrases like "this led to," "as a consequence," "this demonstrates that." Number two, vague knowledge. Saying, "William built lots of castles," earns you very little. Saying, "William had constructed approximately 500 Motte-and-Bailey castles by 1087, including Rougemont Castle in Exeter, built after the 1067 revolt," earns you marks. Be specific. Names, dates, numbers. Number three, treating interpretations as sources. This is a big one. In OCR history, when you are given a historian's interpretation, you are not being asked whether it is reliable. You are being asked to evaluate the argument, to consider what evidence supports it, what challenges it, and why the historian might have reached that conclusion. Provenance matters differently here. Think about the historian's focus, their methodology, the date they were writing, and what evidence was available to them. For write-an-account questions, structure your answer chronologically, but focus on causal links. Do not just list events, show how one event caused or led to another. For example, the failure of the Great Northern Revolt of 1069 led directly to the harrying of the North, which in turn produced the long-term economic devastation recorded in the Domesday Book. That is a causal chain, and that is what examiners reward. For 10-mark questions, use the factor evidence explanation model. State your factor, provide specific evidence, then explain how that factor contributed to the outcome. Do this for multiple factors, and then link them together in your conclusion. Now, quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask the questions. You try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. In what year did William commission the Domesday Book? The answer is 1086. Question 2. What was the name of the Archbishop of Canterbury appointed by William in 1070? That's Lanfranc of Bec. Question 3. Which Anglo-Saxon rebel led resistance from the Isle of Ely? Hereward the Wake. Question 4. What term describes the land recorded as uninhabited in the Domesday Book after the harrying of the North? Waste. Question 5. In what year did William land at Pevensey Bay? 1066, specifically the 28th of September. Question 6. What was the name of the legitimate Anglo-Saxon claimant who allied with the Danes in the Great Northern Revolt? Edgar the Etheling. How did you do? If you got all 6, you are in great shape. If you missed some, go back and review those sections. Retrieval practice is one of the most powerful revision techniques there is. Let's wrap up. The Norman conquest was not a single event. It was a process. It began with a disputed succession in 1066, continued through military conquest at Hastings, and was consolidated through castles, the feudal system, brutal suppression of rebellions, and the systematic replacement of the Anglo-Saxon ruling class. By 1087, when William died, England was a fundamentally different country, Norman in language, culture, landholding, and church. The Domesday Book stands as the ultimate monument to that transformation, a record of a conquered nation, cataloged and taxed by its new masters. For your exam, remember, be specific, be analytical, and always link your evidence back to the question. Think about causation, consequence, change, and continuity. And when you encounter an interpretation, evaluate the argument. Don't just describe it. Thank you for listening to History Unlocked. Good luck in your exam. You've got this.